The quest to find and grow trust among African Americans in the criminal justice system has motivated a broad and deep look at traditional practices which may not have originally had racial implications, but now find themselves under new scrutiny to avoid explosive verdicts in police brutality cases and other highly watched cases. The long tradition of what's called the peremptory challenge, where lawyers may remove a prospective juror for any reason, may explain why an overwhelming percentage of blacks have been removed from cases in certain districts in the South and around the country. One study has looked at two parishes in Louisiana and judicial districts in North Carolina and Alabama. They all found peremptory challenges responsible for significantly altering the racial composition of juries. Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, is with us. Adam, what's the math here? Do it. And it does have an impact on verdicts, yes?
It sure looks that way, yeah. So in general, lawyers get a certain number of peremptory strikes, meaning they can exclude from juries people for any reason. They don't have to offer a reason. And it turns out that prosecutors in several parts of the country where this has been studied exclude blacks twice as often, sometimes three times as often, as prospective white jurors. And a new study from Caddo Parish, which is where Shreveport, Louisiana is, seems to show that it really matters in verdicts. That is, if you have two or fewer blacks on a jury, you get no acquittals, and we're talking about overwhelming sets of black defendants. And if you have three or more, you get 12%, five or more, 19%. So if you have a representative sampling of the community, you're more likely to have a justice system which gives you both kinds of verdicts, guilty verdicts and acquittals, and not only uniformly guilty verdicts.
All right, let's talk about the source, the sort of case law source of peremptory challenge. It goes back to English common law, if I'm not mistaken, yes?
Yes. Now, we've had this for centuries, and until 1986, the Supreme Court said that's the way it is. Both sides get peremptory challenges. They don't have to explain themselves. Trial lawyers say they like to operate on instinct. They don't may not even have a reason. But in 1986, the Supreme Court said, we're so opposed to racism in the criminal justice system that if challenged, prosecutors have to give a reason. That is, if they're excluding a lot of blacks and the defense lawyer says, I think he's excluding blacks because he's discriminating against blacks, the prosecutor has to give a reason. And it turns out that decision from 1986 called Batson against Kentucky really doesn't have a lot of teeth, because prosecutors are pretty good at coming up with reasons, and judges are very reluctant to question them, to say, I don't believe your reason. You, Mr. Prosecutor, are a liar. You're a racist. So you don't have a lot of successful challenges under this Batson decision.
Now, the Foster case that's coming up before the Supreme Court may actually give Batson some teeth, because it allows, or potentially allows, the court to look at notes and statistical sort of details that give an indication of a possible strategy on the part of prosecutors in their peremptory challenges. Can you describe this case?
Yeah, so the Foster case is a death penalty case, and decades after Timothy Foster is convicted in 1987, the prosecutor's notes surface. And those notes have race all over them. It has B next to every black person. It has the black potential jurors circled on sheets of notes. It has them highlighted in green. It has them ranked in order. It has an investigator saying, well, if we have to take one black, let's take this woman. So it's the racial aspect of it is fairly clear. And yet when challenged, the prosecutor came up with lots and lots of supposedly race-neutral reasons. You know, the jurors were confused. They didn't make eye contact, all kinds of race neutral reasons. And here's a case where the Supreme Court is, you know, more likely than not going to find that this trial was infected by racism. The larger question is, does it do anything to this general structure in the Batson case we've been talking about, which in general seems not to have a lot of teeth?
Finally, you describe the way in which these notes were used. It does seem almost as though the lawyers were manipulating Batson itself, indicating that, well, if we have to take a black, we'll take this good black and these other ones we don't want. So I'm wondering if the court would view a manipulation of Batson, which was intended to create a race-neutral environment as particularly onerous and try to do something much more aggressive here.
Yeah, I think that's quite right. The question is, what's the more aggressive move? And as I talk to a lot of defense lawyers and prosecutors, some of which like peremptory challenges, some not, most of them didn't have very good ideas about how to make Batson better. One proposal that makes a little bit of sense is in Louisiana, for instance, both sides get 12 peremptory challenges. That's just a lot. A couple people suggested, what if it were just three? That would let them knock out someone they really are scared of, really viewed as biased, but not let them go on a campaign to take out people of one race entirely.
Adam Liptak, a Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much, Adam.
Great to be here.